Coming up, shocking new revelations about consciousness and matter.
You really can have it all, it all, it all, it all, it all, it all. Welcome to Having It All, featuring experts and pioneers in health, wealth, relationships, and spirituality, creating a healthier, wealthier, happier you. And now, here's your host, the Miracle Mama, Marbeth Dunn.
Wow, I'm so happy to be here today. I'm Marbeth Dunn, the Miracle Mama, and I live in a world of miracles because I choose to. Whether it's miraculous healing of a physical issue or a relationship gone terribly awry, financial abundance showing up unexpectedly out of nowhere, or a feeling of deep peace during a time of incredible turmoil, I trust in my connection to the source of all that is. I expect miracles, and they show up. Well, this morning, I called to renew my flood insurance. I have a really nice relationship with my insurance agent, and I was telling him about our guest today on the show and his incredible work. And Michael, my agent, mentioned the pain he's been having in his lower back from exercising. I tapped in, and I asked if it was on his right side. He said yes. I ran a little energy, and to his amazement, his pain was gone, and that took maybe 15 seconds. So if you're wondering how this could possibly happen, it's because of a phenomena in quantum physics called quantum entanglement, where particles become entangled with each other and can affect each other even at great distances. I'm an empath and an intuitive, and when I work with a client, whether they're present or in Europe, Australia, or Japan, I can still feel in my body where he or she is holding emotional baggage or stress in their body, and that's creating their issues. Their body communicates with me. I receive the information like a computer printout. Often it's information they're not even aware of. Then as an intuitive, I know what's creating the issue, and I can help them release it and get clarity and activate their miracle power. It is simple and painless. And one of my all-time favorite techniques that I learned almost 15 years ago is quantum touch. I love that it enhances every other technique or modality that I've learned over the years. And I've been following Richard Gordon, the man who brought this treasure to the world, for almost 40 years. That's amazing. And I have watched the evolution of Richard's work, and I'm so excited to share with you today his latest developments that can totally shake the world's beliefs to the core about the nature of consciousness and how it reacts with the material world. With 37 years of experience in the field of energy medicine, Richard is the best-selling author of Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal, Your Healing Hands, The Polarity Experience, and his new book, The Secret Nature of Matter. The Quantum Touch organization currently has more than 1,400 certified practitioners in 50-plus countries around the globe, and I am so excited to have you on the show, Richard. Welcome.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be here. I appreciate it.
Yes, well, I'm thrilled. As soon as I saw that your new book was coming out, I just spontaneously wrote you, okay, you want to be on the show? Because I want to explore it. So let's talk a little bit about your background. How did quantum touch come into your life?
You know, it's actually becoming a long story since I've been at it so long. But in the mid-70s, actually in the early mid-70s, my health was getting bad. I went to a doctor who said, let's wait till you get worse because you got lots of symptoms, but nothing's bad enough to treat. So I went to a holistic health school. I learned about something called polarity therapy, which was my first book. It was called Your Healing Hands. And I was completely blown away with the life force energy. And by the time the book came out, I was more interested in the life force energy than I was in polarity therapy. But a few months before the book was in print, I met a gentleman named Robert Rasmussen. And this guy was telling tall tales, and I couldn't believe anything he was saying, like, oh, well, the bones move with a light touch back into alignment, or I heal, you know, helped a woman with a cancer the size of a grapefruit and it melted away in an hour. And he just went on and on with these tall tales, like a broken bone spontaneously healing. And I thought, well, this guy's completely full of it. But then he demonstrated on my girlfriend who had a major scoliosis, and he just touched her hips and they rolled right back into alignment like a. And then he touched her shoulders and the occipital bones, and within 10 minutes, half of her scoliosis had disappeared. And I was, you know, gobsmacked, the English like to say, blown away. And then as I started practicing, I eventually took over in his retirement many, many years later. I was his friend. And I was able to evolve the work radically. Then about 7-8 years ago, I made another massive discovery. My second book came out quite some time ago called Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal, which is in 17 languages. And then I just didn't know where to take it beyond that. And almost 20 years went by before my third book came out called Quantum Touch 2.0, excuse me, The New Human. And in The New Human, I was able to show that you could work 2 or 3 times faster without even touching people. And that was just such a huge breakthrough for me. And I had one chapter, I think it was chapter 17 toward the back of the book, where I showed that, I called it visible magic, that you could meditate on a person's sphenoid bone behind the nose and eyes, and you could align their hips and cranial bones in a few seconds. And both of those things are considered physiologically impossible. And I thought, wow, it's really fascinating. I can actually show this, what stage magicians have told me was actually real magic. And I can show it in seconds without any setup or suggestion whatsoever by untwisting the hips and the cranial bones, the occiput at the back of the head. Now, a lot of people aren't very interested in that particular subject, and I don't blame them, because aligning hips and occiput aren't really a topic of interest to people. But the reason this is so exciting is because it shows that the entirety of material science is not the whole story. So scientists today consider that everything that's real can be explained through math and physics. And by doing this one little demonstration of untwisting hips and occiput, we can show that that's not the case. Now, 99% of the people interested in quantum touch are excited because we're able to bring down pain, inflammation, accelerate the healing process, and generally give relief to what people are wanting. And we recently conducted a pain study showing 41 patients with 50 pain conditions, most of them suffering from fibromyalgia, various forms of arthritis, or from accidents. And a single quantum touch session given by various practitioners around the world produced a 67.4% reduction of their pain, which is on par with a prescribed narcotic. And this, of course, has no side effects. So, getting back to the long story, it turned out that because I knew this one little technique, I was able to make a series of breakthroughs, and I ran 58 unique experiments that anybody else can replicate just by reading my book and practicing. And in these experiments, I was able to show that the mind is not confined to the brain, that our love has impact, and the assumptions that materialism is the nature of reality is kind of busted wide open. And so it just leaves tremendous areas for discovery and research.
It does, Richard. But what really is so fascinating, I was reading The Secret Nature of Matter today, or I've been reading it for the past week. And what really struck me is, how on earth did you figure out that visualizing a bone that you can't even access, yes. You know, you can't see it. How did that information come to you?
Well, it wasn't my genius or anything like this by a long shot. What happened was one of my students was taking my level two quantum touch class, and she told me that it's much more efficient to move the sphenoid bone back into place, because she was working with a therapy that took like an hour to get the sphenoid to finally come back into alignment by doing a lot of work on the face and inside the mouth and such like that. And they were able to get it to go back. And they saw that once the sphenoid had arrived back into alignment, that the hips and occiputs would stay stabilized back into alignment. So I said, well, let's try it in this class and use the technique I'm teaching to see if we can move the sphenoid bone. And once we tried it, we saw immediately that it worked, and it took only a few seconds. And so that's how that piece of it came about. But one day when I was actually, it was a year and a half ago, it was Thanksgiving of 07, and I'm having dinner with my friends, and one of my friends said to me that he had discovered that if you make a movie of yourself doing a healing session, the people watching the movie will experience some healing. And I said to my friend Daniel, I said, come on, that's really hard to believe. He said, no, try it. So I tried to make a movie of myself doing healing, but it's really hard to evaluate healing because some people will just say nice things just to make you feel better. And it's hard to evaluate that. So I thought, well, wait a second, I have a little test that I can use to find out if something happened. Because when you're standing upright and balanced and your hips have this big twist to them, no one has the physiological ability to untwist their hips. And if the cranial bones are off by a mile, Gray's Anatomy says the bones are fused in adults and they can't possibly move. So these are two impossible things. And if I can meditate and cause them to happen, that is visible, tangible. So I made a movie of myself meditating on aligning the sphenoid bone. And then I showed people the movie and it worked. And I was astounded. But about three or four experiments in, just on a whim, I love trying crazy things. And I reached in my pocket. I had played golf that morning. I was still wearing the same sweater. And I reached into my pocket and there was a golf tee in my pocket. And I thought, well, what if I put the energy and intention of aligning the sphenoid bone into the golf tee and then hand it to somebody? Will that do anything? And lo and behold, it did. It worked, and it worked perfectly, instantly. And I was completely astounded. Then I started running one experiment after another. Well, after I'd done seven or eight, I realized I better keep a journal of everything that's going on because this is monumental. So I wrote down the ones that I had previously done and then kept track of them ever since.
Well, it's amazing, really, all of the different experiments that you've listed in this book. I love it.
Yeah, it's kind of reads a little like a mystery story that, well, okay, if this is happening, why is that going on? And I remember when I got to experiment 37, I got really upset because I'd been working with lots of different kinds of experiments. Like if you run energy into water and someone drinks the water, or will that align them? Yes, it did. Well, what if you boil the water? When the water cools, will it still hold the energy information? And it did. Well, what about the water that evaporated on the lid of the pot? Would that still hold the energy information? And the answer was no, it didn't. And this was all very fascinating. What about water that turns to ice? No, it did not carry the information. What about ice that turns to water? Yes, it did. I took like a slug and I ran energy into it, and of course it worked. And by the way, one of the really fascinating discoveries was all matter, glass, plastic, rubber, metal, a leaf, you name it, everything holds energy and intention equally. And so it led me to a conclusion later on that all matter is made of subatomic God stuff. It's, by the way, it's a technical scientific term.
I know, of course.
Yes. Yeah. So in the process of doing these experiments, I was trying to make experiments fail as much as I was trying to make them work, because I wanted to see what are the parameters, when does it work and when doesn't it work. I was delighted to find out that the water that evaporated had somehow lost the information. So a flame did not carry the information. Smoke did not carry the information of the piece of paper or the candle or any other object that I'd burn. So I got to kind of play with what works. And then I tried to make an experiment fail, and I failed at failing. What happened was, this was kind of a landmark experiment. A woman was standing in a coffee shop. And by the way, I always had to meet new people, because once I've aligned somebody, I can never work with them again.
Isn't that funny? I love that. I love that it's permanent.
Yeah, so I had to keep meeting new people. So I met this woman in a coffee shop, and she agreed to let me test this with her. So she's standing with her back to a long table, and I lay about 15 pennies across the table, and they were about 3 to 4 inches apart from one another. And I meditated on penny number one, which was right behind her. And then I measured her again to make sure I hadn't accidentally aligned her, and she had not been aligned. Okay, good. Then I reached way down 4 feet away and pulled up penny number 15. And I handed her penny number 15, and she was aligned instantly. And I got upset, because I thought, why is this happening? This shouldn't happen. Because
if they were entangled in your pocket?
Well, that's not what. I later ran the experiment backwards, and I'll explain. But what happened was, when I laid the pennies out, I entangled them, and that's how it worked. So, my first thought was that the energy had moved across the whole group of them, and that wasn't the case. Because if that had happened, then the walls, the floors, and the ceiling, and all the people in the room, and the earth for that matter, would be untwisted if it spread like gasoline and fire. So then I came up with a theory of entanglement, which you're exactly correct on. And the next day I got to run an entanglement experiment directly. And what I did was, I borrowed a handful of change, because I didn't trust my own change, because it could be affected by my meditations that I'd done. And I just looked at the change, and I stared at it. And my thought was, I see pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters. I see all the change in my hand. It's all here. I see them all. And that was it. And I put the change on the table, and I handed each of the women one of the coins, just randomly. And then I reached in a pocket and pulled out a charged coin and tapped one of the coins on the table for a split second. And when I measured the women, they were both untwisted, aligned. And that was very exciting. But the next day I got to do the experiment in reverse. And that's when I really got excited, because I got it to fail. And when you're doing experiments, you need to see when things work and when things fail. Otherwise, you can't understand the lawfulness. And what I did was, there was a woman, I had her take her change and put it on a table. And then I asked her to pick up one of the coins and just hold it in her hand. And she did. I tapped one of the coins on the table, and she was still misaligned. And I got very excited, because she had not grouped them together in her mind. In the process of me laying the 15 pennies out, I was looking at each penny as I was doing it. I was acknowledging all 15. I had joined them together in my mind. But the woman reaching in her purse, the change was, so to speak, a stranger to her. She didn't know those coins. She had no interest or connection with those coins whatsoever. But by looking at the coins and holding them and saying, yes, I see them all, they're all connected here, that actually worked.
That's really amazing. You know, I find this is so profound, and so many interesting implications. I don't even know like where this could possibly go. You know, just the quantum physicists must be pretty impressed with the work that you're doing.
Not yet.
Okay.
Not by a long shot yet. Because they don't know about it, and it's still a little bit too early for them to be on board. I have been in touch, however, with Dr. Dean Radin of Noetic Science.
Right.
And I have been in touch with Dr. Gary Schwartz from the University of Arizona.
That works with Lynn McTaggart. We'll be back in just a moment. And we can talk more about these quantum physicists and their reaction. We can talk more about the exciting implications of this work. And we'll be right back. Have you been stuck, really stuck? I'm Marbeth Dunn with a very special opportunity only for listeners of Having It All Radio. If you'd like to step out of victimhood to become a co-creator of your own abundance and success, sign up now for my Flash of Insight consult at yourmiraclepower.com/insight, I-N-S-I-G-H-T. Not only will we work together one-on-one to release an issue that's been keeping you stuck, you will receive a special bonus, my signature Power of Joy audio program valued at $397. I've been there. I understand the hurt you're going through. Don't delay. Sign up now for your Flash of Insight consult, yourmiraclepower.com/insight.
Choosing to work with Marbeth Dunn was one of the smartest things I ever did. She has an intuitive gift that allows her to meet people where they are so that you can begin to peel away the layers of stuff that keep us from having that soulful and joyful journey that we want. I know in my personal and professional life, I experienced a new sense of well-being and I show up differently. I've had successes in those areas that I don't think were possible before I met and worked with Marbeth. I also have a new confidence in myself, and that makes a world of difference.
And we are back. And so I have so many questions to ask you, Richard.
Sure.
We do have a guest on the line. His name is Richard also, and I'd like to bring him on and see what questions he has about the nature of your work.
Sure.
Richard, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, I know you are.
Another Richard, yes, of course.
Another Richard.
Hi, Richard. Hi, Marbeth.
Hi. Do you have any questions of Richard Gordon about his amazing work?
Well, I just find it extremely fascinating. And I've had, as Marbeth knows, I've been diagnosed with one leg 1 centimeter longer than the other one. And so I've had hip pain, and I have popping, cracking in my neck and my back and shoulders. And I was just wondering if you can align over the phone.
Well, we're not going to go into that today because we were talking about that beforehand. We're going to get into the philosophy of it, but we'll talk personally, privately. Okay. We're going to get into more about the science and the philosophy behind Richard Gordon's work today. Do you have any questions along that line?
I just find it really fascinating how energy can be transferred that way. It just seems like not possible, but I'm not a scientist, of course, so I don't really know the questions to ask, but it's extremely fascinating work. I want to read your book now.
Oh, fantastic. So. You know, a lot of people are misdiagnosed with a short leg because the hip is so high on one side and it looks like they have a short leg. Unless it's been an X-ray, it's not actually a short leg. Unless, you know, it says the length from the femur and so forth is different, then it's not actually a short leg. And Marbeth can spend a few seconds with you and align it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Cool.
Yeah. So, but I did have some questions also. Do you have any more questions, Richard?
No, I'm just going to listen and be fascinated.
Fantastic.
Okay. I know. It's so fascinating. I get so excited talking about it. So tell me, what are some of the benefits of aligning the occiput and the hips?
Well, for some people, it takes their neck pain away or their back pain away. And one guy recently, it helped his coccyx pain. For a lot of other people, it helps in their gait. When they're running, they're walking, they're dancing, they'll move more smoothly. It's also good for injury prevention. For some people, it helps TMJ and a number of other things. But my interest has not been the therapeutic benefit of the alignment. My interest is showing the scientists that the earth is not flat, so to speak.
Right.
that we have these human abilities we didn't know about, and that our love actually has a physical impact on other people. Yes, it has some minor and some sometimes significant, you know, health benefits to it. But the real story is what it means. You know, when Galileo looked through his telescope, you know, it's a fascinating question. How would you know by looking through a telescope the Earth was round? And, you know, or that actually, I'm sorry, that it goes around the sun. How would you know that? Well, the way he determined it was by looking at the phases of Venus. If Venus had phases like the moon and you do the math, then you can figure out that Venus is going around the sun and the Earth must be too. Well, nobody talks about the phases of Venus being interesting, but the fact that the Earth goes around the sun is very interesting. Well, similarly, the alignment of the hips and occiput isn't very interesting. And as I said in the book, it's not important, but it changes everything. But the implications and the meaning of it change all our fundamental assumptions about reality. And that's interesting.
You know, I was just thinking about voodoo dolls. You know, I lived in Haiti for many years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the thought that you can impart energy into an object and have it affect other people. You know, yes. I think that's been around for a while, but I don't think people really gave it any credence.
Well, you know, there is that side of it, but you also have the belief of the people. You know, I haven't really given that much thought. What I am excited about is that how people can take their love and positivity and infuse it into people or objects and bring about great healing and transformation.
That's what I love about it, too. And I find that, you know, love is the greatest force of the universe, really. And the fact that we can imbue that into different objects, you know, when we make a gift for someone and send it to them and fill it, you know, with our love, whether we're doing it consciously or unconsciously, I think I don't think people have really been aware of how much it can affect them.
Well, the reason that energy healing is not being taught in medical schools around the world is because, as the famous professor Rupert Sheldrake liked to say, that the students gained a belief in materialism as a form of intellectual osmosis. They just kind of suck it in, the idea that the only things that are real can be weighed, measured, or put into a formula.
Right.
And when you have that physical, materialistic viewpoint, you can't possibly accept that the mind is not confined to the brain. And they assume that the mind is the brain. Therefore, the death of the brain means the death of the mind. But if you are able to do the kinds of things you and I have done, where you project your love and intent and life force energy into another person and see their pain disappear, you've just broken the old paradigm. And therefore, as Galileo famously said, you know, cognitive dissonance is a bitch.
You know, I don't think he said it quite like that.
He didn't really say that. No, as my interpretation. Actually, he did say this wonderful thing. He said, my dear Kepler, when the learned refused to look through the telescope, what shall we do? Shall we laugh or shall we cry? And it is funny when people refuse to see what's in front of them, but it's also very sad.
Yeah.
And this is the state of energy healing today. And this is why I'm very excited to get my book out there to try to change the paradigm. And it's also why I'm in the early stages of creating a documentary that will be titled The Galileo Project. And the idea is, what would happen if you had visible, teachable, paradigm-changing information? How would people react to an unfamiliar telescope, so to speak? Would they be willing to look, or would they run away? And if they are willing to look, would they look again, and will they be willing to learn it, and will they be willing to accept a whole new paradigm of belief and take it forward? So we're not even at the stage of doing crowdfunding yet, but we will be in time.
Well, keep me posted on that, Richard. I'm very interested.
Absolutely.
I definitely want to support your work. And I just find this so amazing. So does thought alone create the entanglement, or is it, do you need to add love to it?
Well, just being deeply aware of things creates an entanglement. And it doesn't have to be entangled with love, but it does need to have some deep thought connection in order to create that entanglement. At least that's what my early experiments are suggesting. We're in the process. We did a double-blind experiment. I was just before the break, I was beginning to mention that I've been in touch with Gary Schwartz and Dean Radin.
Wonderful.
And they both read my book, and they said, we love what you wrote, but we don't know that it's true yet. So you need to do the double-blind experiments to our satisfaction, and then you need, if you do them successfully, then we will replicate the experiments and try to make them fail. And if they still succeed, we're going to believe in it. So that's where we are now. We've done the first round of double-blind experiments very successfully. And now we're working on the second round, which will be much more tightly controlled and with much tighter parameters around the whole thing. And once we've presented that to Dean Radin and Gary Schwartz, assuming we're more successful than we were the first time, then we hope to have them replicate the experiment and then get on board. But this is a long-term process. Those are the two most open-minded scientists I can find. And it's still too far out for them at the moment. But I can demonstrate it in seconds to anybody willing to stand still and look.
Of course. What about Dr. William Tiller? I know he was working
Bill Tiller hasn't had the time or the energy, but I did include him in the book. And I met with him, and he's getting on in years, and he's just not interested in taking on another project.
I understand that, but I mean, he's definitely been working with consciousness and experimenting with it for so many years.
My friend who helped me edit the book is a scientist who worked with Bill Tiller years ago and was like a lab assistant for him. And so, my friend, it was funny, when I was writing the book, I wrote a chapter and I called it The Lawfulness of these discoveries. And he said, Richard, this isn't actually lawfulness. He said, what you've done is you've actually discovered five new laws of science.
Five new laws of science. Tell me.
Well, five new proposed laws of science.
Okay.
Well, the first one is here it is. I just had to open the book. Psychic abilities do exist because, the fact that we can align people shows that it's true.
Yes.
The second is that focused energy intention follows thought and has a physical impact on people and matter. That the matter can hold energy and intention is a crazy discovery.
It is crazy. I've worked with crystals, and I think people realize that they can program crystals.
But you can program a cigarette butt.
I know. That was so phenomenal. And I've seen, the quantum touch pendants that.
We can get to that in a second. And the third one was tied to the second one, which I just sort of mentioned. All matter can hold energy and intent. The fourth is that all matter can instantly transfer energy, information, intent to people or other objects. And the fifth is that conscious entanglement is a real phenomenon. So those are the five new proposed laws of science that they could actually work with. So what happened is once I discovered that I could join objects together in my mind through conscious entanglement, then I created a pendant that you just mentioned. And this pendant, what I did was I created a very beautiful piece of jewelry that men and women appreciate, and with a nice pattern on it and a little crystal in the middle. It's very pretty. But truthfully, it could have been made out of old cigarette butts encased in plastic, for all that it matters.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to wear them.
wait, you don't like old cigarette butts as jewelry?
No. Okay.
So once I had them manufactured, then I spent a long time entangling them all together, and then I ran my best healing energy into the pendants, and then I also put in the thought form of untwisting pelvic and occipital torsion by aligning the sphenoid bone. Then I sent out a gift to my top 50 instructors around the world of one of the pendants. And within two, 3 weeks, we had sold out all 1,000 of the ones we had manufactured, because when the teachers felt what was there in these pendants, they got super excited and they wanted to sell them. So, okay, we sold them to them and they sold them to their students. We've now sold almost 4,000 of them. And what's happening is they're getting more powerful every single day, because anybody who's putting their deepest love, intent, energy into these pendants is affecting every one of the pendants in the world, because they're all entangled together. That's what entanglement means, that right. Whatever happens to one happens to all of them.
So did you program all of these pendants, or did you do them by transferring the energy from one to the other?
Well, no, I programmed all of them, but I also did transfers too. So in like the latest batch of pendants, what I did was what I do with all of them. I spread them all out. I spent a long time entangling them together to make sure they're all linked. Then I run my healing energy in, and then I take samples of all previous generations and connect the pendants to all previous generations of pendants. So they're all 100% up to speed. Everyone is supercharged and ready to go. Now, I didn't know what I had created, to be honest with you. I just knew that it felt good and that it would untwist people, and it was a pretty amazing thing, and people loved holding them or having them on, but I had no idea what this was. I was taking a walk with my friend Jamie, and he told me in the morning when we met that he had stubbed his toe really badly and he wasn't sure how long he could walk. Well, after we'd walked about a mile, he said, "It's getting too painful to walk anymore." So I said to him, "Well, why don't you take the pendant and put it on your toe?" He goes, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, try it." So he takes his pendant and holds it up, just lays it on his toe. He's wearing sandals. And within a minute or two, he said, "I can walk again now. It's comfortable." Within another 2 minutes, he said, "I can't even feel the toe anymore." So that was my first hit. The second happened in Cancun, Mexico. On the very last night of a retreat at a beach party at about 2 a.m, this guy Gregorio from Italy says to me, he says, "You know, I was a jerk when I was a teenager and I used to get into fights, and I haven't been able to breathe through my right sinus since I was a teenager." And I said, "Well, here's two pendants, hold them on both sides of your nose." And he does. And within 5 minutes, he says he can breathe through his right sinus. And then two women with TMJ held it up and their TMJ pain went away. And another woman had pain under her eyes and she held the pendants under her eyes. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I didn't even know what this thing was.
Wow.
Yeah, this was a real surprise to me that this happened. And now we're getting stories from around the world. One friend of mine had sprained his thumb badly doing jujitsu, and so for 20 minutes before he went to bed, he held the pendant up against his thumb, and the next morning, his thumb was fine, and he thought it was going to be a month or more before his thumb was going to be useful.
Yeah, I believe it. I totally believe it.
Yeah, and so we're discovering that people are putting amazing kinds of healing energy in, and if you think of everybody's love as a unique bouquet of flowers, oh, this person has very protective and love, and this person has very nurturing or compassionate love, and this person is just very warm and embracing and so forth. Well, now imagine you've got thousands of bouquets of love, of everybody's variety of love, all in one place. Plus, we're starting new programs with the pendants to double their power in the next 6 months.
Wow. And that, and of course, will revert to the previous ones.
Well, all pendants are affected with each other. That's what entanglement means.
Absolutely.
Anything that happens to one happens to them all. And the way we're doing this is, first, people are putting their special gifts into the pendant, or their strengths. Like one man says, I can work through adversity. I can go to the gym. I can work through pain. I don't care how much it hurts. I'm going to keep going forward. That's grit. Okay?
Yeah.
Another person says, I have this incredible nurturing energy where I can just make people feel wonderful. Another man, you know, and so everybody's putting their gifts and their, and in time we're going to put our special talents, like somebody can read 5,000 words a minute or somebody has photographic memory. We're going to be putting all these, and then people will be putting their peak experiences into them. And one man recently put tantric ecstasy into the pendant. And the way we access this had to do with something that I taught in my last book, Quantum Touch 2.0, The New Human, where I showed that you can actually share gifts with each other.
Right. We're going to come back and explore this more right after break. So this is so exciting, Richard. I can't wait to hear more about it. Is the daily grind getting you down? How would you like to trade in your stress and struggle for peace, love, abundance, and joy? I'm Marbeth Dunn, the Miracle Mama. Even if you are struggling in your relationships, health, or peace of mind, you can have it all. Don't waste another day. Learn my simple secrets to eliminate stress and struggle in my free report, 7 Easy Steps to Harness the Power of Miracles. Go to miracles101.com to get your free report today. That's miracles101.com. Okay, so we are back, and I just want to remind our listeners that you will be able to access information about Richard and Quantum Touch all on his show page on havingitallradio.com. So you'll be able to access everything that you want to know, but we're afraid to ask about Richard and all of the wonderful things. I also wanted to, you know, to talk a little bit more about the Quantum Touch. Years ago in Santa Fe, New Mexico, my daughter had a massage client who had terrible, terrible scoliosis. It was, her spine was twisted sideways, and then it went in on the bottom. And my daughter said, you know, Mom, would you work on her? So I did, and I was able to help her some. But the next time I came back to New Mexico, Shauna said, could you work on Diana again? And I said, yes, but I want you to help me. And I showed her how to run the energy. And her eyes were big as saucers. This woman's spine straightened completely, completely right before our eyes. It was just amazing. This stuff really works. And I'm so excited about these pendants, Richard. The fact that you can program this information into them and transfer qualities, that's amazing.
Yeah, and we're just at the earliest stage of exploring them. And that's what we did in the double-blind experiment. Instead of using a pendant, I meditated on a quarter and gave it the energy information of untwisting the hips and occiput. And then put my quarter in an envelope, and my friend who doesn't know my work put a random quarter in another envelope. And then randomly, those envelopes were given to two different people who each pulled their quarter out. And they were both given the same instruction of just tapping somebody with intent of untwisting their posture. And then we've got a laser measuring device to measure how far it is from the top of the hip to the floor that measures within a fraction of a millimeter. And what we saw was the people who were tapped with the uncharged quarter had no movement whatsoever. And every single person tapped with the charged quarter did. Now, it's a difficult measurement, but we're keep honing our system down to get better and better at it. And we hope to be within 2 millimeters all the time, which is, yeah, about a 16th of an inch or so, or maybe a little between a 16 and 360 and, you know, an eighth. So very, very small amount. But the people who move, move a great deal.
And yes, so
we
they
wanna,
do.
We want to keep our baseline very tight.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to be sending off to the other scientists.
That is so cool. So, yeah. So that's your double blind. I knew I'd read in Secret Nature of Matter how you had created this work with the laser, because it is so tricky to measure people. You know, if they just maybe put one hip up.
No, you can't. No,
you can't.
When you're standing balanced, you cannot raise a hip.
Okay.
Because if your feet are flat on the floor and your weight is balanced, you cannot change the height of a hip. You can only do it by lifting a heel or something. You can't do it while you're balanced. And the cranial bones are considered fused together, and they shouldn't be able to move at all. And the fact that we can move them is just amazing.
And I love the fact that you can shift the posture just by... Or the occiput and the hips, just by meditating on the sphenoid, because obviously you can't touch it without doing some serious invasion of somebody.
And if you take your pendant and just tap somebody on the elbow or shoulder or just a hair on their head, just whisk it past a hair for a split second, it'll untwist their posture for the rest of their life.
That
so you got to
so
try that.
Phenomenal.
That's the easiest experiment to do, is just take your pendant and just tap somebody, you know, on the shoulder with it and measure them again. And you'll see that it just worked instantly. It's the craziest thing.
You know, yeah.
I'm so ever delighted, astounded, and amazed that this is actually true. And my friend Chris wrote something at the beginning of my book that, you know, like the wheel, it was only obvious after it was invented. And this could have been discovered thousands of years ago. Because it doesn't require any special equipment, doesn't even need a telescope to blow our minds.
No. But the thing is people are so caught up in their belief system that matter is real, and they, you know, it's kind of difficult to, of course, that's all they're seeing. So they would look at this and it would not even register for them because it's outside the realm of their belief system.
Yeah.
And the only way they would actually be able to shift it, even, you know, people who are have life-threatening diseases are often not willing to, and that really is a huge impetus to seek alternative methodology. But many people are not. They are just so caught up in the material world. This is how things have to be. That they're not willing to look outside, because if anything shifted from, you know, an alternative reality, well, that would seriously affect their belief system, and they couldn't handle it. I think there are a lot of people in that boat.
Yeah, then that's why we're really talking about a significant paradigm shift now.
Yeah.
This would be the biggest shift since Galileo. And so we're really taking our time trying to get the science right, and then trying to make the documentary and trying to get the word out there that this is actually real. And it's surprising how challenging it is to get people to sit still and just show them something impossible. And
they don't necessarily want to see it. That's the problem.
No. And I remember I was at a science of consciousness conference in Tucson. And my friend Chris had made me a sign. It said, "Consciousness affects matter, free demo." So some guy comes up to me and he's got his arms crossed and he's looking at me, you know, his head's cocked to the side. And he says, "All right, what do you got?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to untwist your hips without touching you." He said, "Well, that's impossible." I said, "Great, hold that thought." And I said, I measured him and I said, "Oh my goodness, your left hip is so high, I've almost never seen anybody this far out of alignment in my life." And I said, to make it hard on me, why don't you kind of lock your hips together while you're standing here? So he does, and I meditate for 6 or 7 seconds, and I said, all right, let's measure it now. I go, oh, look, it's completely even. He said, well, of course, you used reverse psychology on me. And I said, well, do you consider yourself an empirical scientist or faith-based? Which is a rude question. And he said, well, empirical, of course. I said, great. Then why don't you watch me do this 5 or 6 more times and see if I'm using, reverse psychology or not. He said, if I let myself believe this just happened, everything I know about science would fall like a house of cards. Well,
exactly.
As an empirical scientist, don't you want to let the cards fall where they will? And he thought for a moment and he said, not today.
And
he just walked away.
And that's what you're dealing with.
This is the cognitive dissonance that Galileo dealt with. You know, shall we laugh or shall we cry when people refuse to look through the telescope? That was his question to Kepler.
Yeah. And that, unfortunately, is what we're dealing with. But I'm wondering, now here's an interesting question for you, Richard.
Yeah.
What if everyone that is involved with the quantum touch and has experienced this and knows the validity of it would send out their intention, you know, all together, you know, united, we're much more strong than, you know, individually.
Right.
And really see that shift happening. Well, I wonder what would happen.
We are all doing our own processes of bringing it into our lives and the people around us. And it's just a work in progress. But you got to understand that cognitive dissonance is really a bitch. When a person's beliefs are having a head-on collision with their reality, they get very uptight. Because
it's threatening.
The entire edifice of their life work and their creation and all their books and their articles and their prestige and their status and their everything is tied up on what I'm saying not being true. And when you confront them and say, hey, guess what? You know, the guy was working, that guy at the show, he was working to try to get computers to be intelligent like human beings. But his assumption is the brain is a machine, and if we can create a machine like the brain, it'll be self-aware. But self-awareness is not the same as calculations. The calculator doesn't know itself any more than the world's best supercomputers. They're completely ignorant of self. They have no desires, expectation, imagination, intention, emotion, love, connection to source. They are just a smart toaster.
Right. It's true.
So do you know what the Turing test is?
No, I don't.
Well, the Turing test was conceived of by Alan Turing, who conceived of the modern day computer. And he thought that by this time in history, computers would be self-aware and you'd be carrying them around in your vest pocket and they'd be your best friend and they'd tell you jokes and they'd, like the movie Her. They'd be operating systems. And so every year they have this Turing test competition. So people try to guess if they're talking to an algorithm of a computer in the other room or they're talking to a human being who's typing on a keyboard. And the idea is if you can fool a person into thinking you're talking to a person, that computer is smart. No, it doesn't mean the computer is smart. It just means that it fooled somebody. But I actually came up with a Turing test that would work. Now, Ray Kurzweil had written this thing where he said, I conjecture that there is no way to determine if an entity is self-conscious. It is only self-conscious to itself. But I have, in my new Turing test, I have a definitive way of determining whether a computer is self-conscious. And that is, if the machine can untwist pelvic and occipital torsion in the next room without any human intervention, it has the ability to imagine, to intend, to send energy, to have access to life force energy. And I would argue there's a living entity in there and don't unplug it. But
interesting.
Today's computers are a million miles away from being able to do this.
Right.
And therefore, I say they are all completely unconscious of themselves. And there is a way of knowing if an entity is self-conscious. And that is through my simple, I call it SPA, spontaneous postural alignment test. That one simple test will determine whether computers are self-aware or not.
Right, right. So, yeah, well, that's, I think that's a great experiment. I think I think that would be absolutely amazing. So we are getting close to the end of our hour. I'm just so fascinated. I know our audience is too. And so, I wanted to know if you had any bits of pearls of wisdom you'd like to share with our audience.
Well, I think the most important thing that really gets overlooked is how powerful your own love is. You know, we're taught, you know, the people who have damaged us the most in our life were the ones who taught us that our love didn't have any impact and it wasn't valuable. It wasn't important. It wasn't enough. And the most loving message you can give a person is that their love is valuable and their love has impact. And that's really what Quantum Touch is all about. Is showing people how powerful their love is and that it really does have impact.
It really does have impact. So I just want to remind you also to go to Richard Gordon's show page on Having It All Radio. You'll learn about Richard. You'll learn where to contact him, learn more about Quantum Touch, social media. And we're going to put up an image of your new book and get that up there too. And also next week on Having It All Radio, we have Dr. Roberta Shaler, the Relationship Help Doctor. And that's going to be a really fascinating program. She focuses her expertise on partners, exes, adult children, and coworkers of relentlessly difficult, disturbing people that she calls hijackals. So that's going to be a very fun show. And I'm looking forward to seeing you there. And Richard, I have so enjoyed having you on the show today. You know, as I said, I've never had the opportunity to work with you personally, you know, in any of your training, but I just totally revere you and the work that you're doing. I think you are one of the pioneers of consciousness, and I'm really looking forward to seeing where everything is going to be taking you.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure to be here.
Oh, of course. It's always a pleasure with you. So thank you so much. And hopefully we'll get you back on the show again because I want to hear more about what's going on.
Absolutely.
So you have a wonderful rest of your day and many, many blessings.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Join Marbeth next week on Having It All. Visit havingitallradio.com to learn more about Marbeth Dunn and her special guests. And be sure to download your free report.